Well, today's gospel discusses Jesus' healing and gift of sight to a blind man on the road to Jericho. And this account is found in St. Luke's gospel, the 18th chapter. For the blind man, the day started out like every other day. He sits begging along the side of the road that leads to Jericho. Yet, that day would become unlike any other day of his life. Jesus and his disciples were passing by. He cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The translation could also be this, "Mercy me." That word that he uses, eleison, comes from the word eleo, but it also has a derivative from eleon, olive oil or oil. So when he's asking, or when we ask, "Lord, have mercy," we could say, "Lord, mercy me." We're not only asking for forgiveness, but we're asking that a healing balm be poured upon us to bring God's grace and his salvation and the entirety of his being upon us that sanctifies us and makes us whole. Now, the crowd tried to silence him, to prevent him from interacting with Jesus. After all, he was just another unimportant, nameless, faceless beggar sitting by the side of the road. But he refuses to be discouraged, and he cries out all the more, "Son of David, mercy me, heal me, pour your balm upon me." And Jesus says, "What do you wish me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I might see." He uses the word anablepso, meaning see or see again or see anew. And the importance of that possible translation will be seen later in the sermon. And Jesus said to him, "See, your faith has saved you." And we read the result. And immediately he saw, and he followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, upon seeing this, gave praises to God. Giving or restoring sight was the unique gift and quality of the Messiah. We should see ourselves in many ways as that blind man. Once we sat in spiritual blindness and in spiritual poverty. When we were catechumens, or are now so blessed to be catechumens, the Church and the Divine Liturgy gives us this prayer, which comes from the Litany of the Catechumens, that he, being God, may reveal to them the gospel of righteousness. We were baptized, or will be baptized. We were chrismated, or will be chrismated. Thus, we were illumined, and will be illumined. We could see spiritually, and to live as Christians, conducting our lives that honor Christ. But consider this. In every divine liturgy, before the reading of the gospel, this prayer is said. It's said for all of us. Illumine our hearts, O Master who loves mankind, with the pure light of your divine knowledge. Open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of your gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of your blessed commandments, that, trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well-pleasing unto you. For you are the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto you we ascribe glory, together with your Father, who is without beginning, and your all-holy good and life-creating Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. Now, from this prayer, well, first, let me back up here a bit. Consider the gospel teachings to the understanding that our eyes may see and understand the gospel teachings. Well, think about it. We give great honor to the gospel. We are to stand. We kiss the gospel. The gospel is, at the end of the gospel reading, the sign of the cross is made with it. Wisdom, let us stand upright. So We are to conduct ourselves in honor of Christ's works, in honor of his preaching, and in honor of the words of the gospel. Let's let that sink into our heads so that we might live accordingly. Now, from this prayer, this Illumine Our Hearts, the prayer before the gospel, from this prayer, we are to learn that our illumination and the opening of our eyes and mind is an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process because with every divine liturgy, we say that prayer, that our eyes might be open to the understanding of your gospel teachings. This is a continual reopening of the eyes of our mind, that we grow in spiritual life, both thinking and doing such things as are well-pleasing unto you. Our salvation is not a one-and-done event. Salvation is not a once-and-for-all event. It is a process. It is a process that often involves and should involve struggle. Therefore, our salvation requires an ever-ongoing renewal and correction of our lives and of our vision. Think of the ongoing checking of our physical sight by an optometrist or an ophthalmologist. Upon the result of examination, we may need to go to the work of an optician to create the device that corrects our vision. I am thinking of another gospel account of Jesus' healing of a blind man, and it shows the process. This is a blind man who lived in Bethsaida, and we have this account from St. Mark's Gospel from the eighth chapter. And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man, and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes, think baptism, think anointing, and laid his hands upon him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" He looked and said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." Then again he laid his hands upon his eyes, and he looked intently, and sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even enter into the village." Again, our salvation, its spiritual life, and its spiritual vision involves a process. It is a process of ongoing confession and repentance. When we stumble and fall, we get up again and again by the supporting hand of God who is saving us. He picks us up again, cleans us off so that we may walk in accordance with the teaching and understanding of his gospel. It involves an ongoing communion of the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist, by which we are cleansed, by which we receive Jesus' light and life, by which we gain victory over sin, darkness, death, alienation, and poor spiritual vision. Quoting from the Prayer of the Hours, the central portion of it, it is an ongoing process of cooperation with God to sanctify our souls, purify our bodies, set aright our minds, cleanse our thoughts. We may also say and pray, "Lord, give me eyes to see your path and walk in your ways, that I may see with eyes of a child, with eyes made pure by your holy body and blood." Our salvation involves these steps of sanctification and purification. And St. Paul tells us, and I've said this so many times in my sermons, and I quote from this because I try to live by this, by the grace of God. It comes from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in, with, and for all things, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." So ask God to open our eyes, correct our vision, so that we may walk along the path, so that we may have eyes to see life and the circumstances and the situations around us, so that we may rejoice in them, no matter what they be, that we can pray constantly through those situations, no matter how difficult they are, and that we can give thanks in, with, and for all things, no matter how unpleasant the circumstances and situation may be. May we see, may we open our eyes, all that this is to be done to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.